Welcome to the podcast after the podcast. This is Short Rest.
Welcome to Short Rest, everybody. Unbutton that top button. I'm your direct messenger. Nope, sorry. Just regular old Brian Murphy. But I am here with Honey Man, Hard One Shorefoot.
Honeyless Hurwitz here, sadly.
But we do have the hot tub lass, Moonshine Sybin.
No, unfortunately, just a cold sink, Emily.
But we do have Milk Boy, Beverly Togold.
I hate to inform you that the Milk Boy's not here. The Oatmeal Milk Man is, though.
Oh, upgrade.
Oatmeal is good.
Yeah.
Love me
some oatmeal.
For real.
Mm-hmm. No dairy involved in that. Mm-hmm. We're on the oat milk train now. Almonds too bad for the world. Oats fine, I guess.
Is that true?
This takes a lot of water. Just a lot of water.
Takes a lot of water to harvest them.
I should feel guilty for eating almond butter sometimes, though.
No, never.
Or using almond flour sometimes. You think I don't use it in great amounts.
You think about how much water it takes to feed a cow. Like that shit. You don't eat red meat all the time, so you're good.
I eat it for every single meal.
Really?
She just has a big steak and slathers some almond butter on it.
I have a bone-in ribeye every single meal.
Emily just buys a bag of pistachios and just like throws them out the window. Just flushes them down the toilet.
Emily's jacked as fuck. She only buys the almonds so she can crush them in her hands.
If you make your own milk, that's fine.
I make red milk, red meat milk.
Oh. Meat milk. You know that cows make their own milk. You don't have to make milk from the meat.
Nah, meat milk.
Emily did used to make a lot of hemp milk, and she had a nut bag that she had to squeeze stuff through.
Yeah.
And she had a hemp milk song. Emily, would you like to sing the hemp milk
song?
Give
me a hemp.
Hemp.
Well, no. The call and answer. I taught it to you. It was
very
specific.
No, it's give me a hemp. Hemp. Give me a milk. Milk. You got your hemp. You got your milk.
It was
no,
very
I'm telling you,
Mark.
You are doing it wrong. It was,
okay,
you forgot
can
your
you
own
stop
song.
Stop talking so I can say my version of the song that I wrote.
This is not what you wrote.
This was a call and answer that I set up with you.
No. Give me a hemp and then I say milk? That doesn't make any sense.
Yes.
No,
should we go?
Emily, you're messing up your own song.
It doesn't make
this
sense.
This is the remix.
Give me 1 second to say what it was. I taught it to you. I remember being like, this is what you have to do. I say, give me a hemp. And then I point to you and you go, milk. And I say, you got your hemp. You got your milk.
Why would I say milk?
I taught you it.
Even if you
call and response. I was like, this is a thing we do now.
I know, but like, even if like you're right about the song, the one that Murph sang, it does make more sense. Because like.
Yeah, it does.
If you ask for a hemp and he says
melodic.
Milk.
No, but doesn't. I point at him. So it's like, you need to be in the room with each other. I can't just say it from across the room.
But even if you point at me, I still want to say hemp because you say, give me a hemp.
Yeah,
you don't remember? I had a conversation with you. I was like, no, when I point at you, you say milk.
If we had this argument before, I would remember.
It wasn't an argument. It was like a, hey, this is the song.
I'm going to ask for a hemp, but I need you to disobey me. And give me a milk.
I need you to be a bad boy and say milk.
Think about it. It sounds so much better. Give me a hemp.
Milk.
No.
It doesn't sound better. It doesn't sound better.
It's so incongruous.
Instant question marks.
Emily, you know I'm usually the one to go with you on this bullshit, but I can't. I can't abide. I can't
but
go down this dark path.
It sounds so much better if you say, give me a hemp. Hemp. Give me a milk. Milk.
Milk.
You
that's
got
perfect.
Your hemp. You got
milk.
It's not.
That's a good song.
That's good.
That's a bop.
That's it.
Yeah, Emily, I'm with Caldwell. You know, we know all we hate to agree with Murph. It really hurts.
This is the first time anyone that the crew has agreed with me. I'm ecstatic.
I am like so confused because to me, my version is perfect, and your version is
insane.
Extraneous hemp. and extraneous milks.
No, you know what you would need to do? All right, let's workshop the song. You would need to say, when I say hemp, you say milk.
That's
hemp,
yeah.
Milk.
Yes, yes.
That'll do
but
it.
But then you can't come. Then you can't slide in with the, you got your hemp, you got your milk.
Yeah, you can. You can break it down after that. When I say hemp, you say milk. Hemp, milk, milk. Hemp, milk. Milk. You got your hemp, you got your milk.
It just really
yeah, you
got to
do it like Caldwell just did it. It's like, you got your hemp, you got your milk.
Yeah, it's kind of like a roll call. It's like a breakdown. Yeah. And then okay, we would all go around
time,
in a circle.
One more time. Maybe you guys will get used to it at this point. Give okay. me a hemp.
Milk.
Hemp. You got your hemp, you got your milk.
It makes no sense.
It goes against everything that like every bone in my body wants to respond to hemp.
When we would do the hemp milk chant at high school before football games, we would do it the way Murph says.
Yes, exactly. I'm so glad you guys agree with me. We actually had, we were working on a script last night for Hot Date. We're allowed to say it now.
Yeah. Oh,
season
hey.
Two.
Right, yeah.
Season two. We're working on a script, and Emily wrote this line that was like so true. It was like we were deciding whether or not to go to this party. And
In the script.
In the script, yeah. Mm. And Emily's character goes and walks out the door and says she's going whether or not I go. And we're supposed to, the idea of the episode is that we're like not supposed to make any new friends for some reason. I'm not going to give it away. And I go like, what? No. You need my sour spirit to bring down your raw charisma. And I was like, too real.
That's too real.
No, I think it was, I need to temper your raw charisma with my sour spirit.
Yeah.
That's really good.
You got to know your dynamic. I will say it is fun seeing the way that couples poison each other's brains. Because like Susan and I don't have any like food songs, but we just have like weird ways that we say food words.
Yeah.
Like we had breakfast burritos this morning, and like the whole time before we went, we were just like staring at each other, being like, "Oh yeah, burritos. I'm eating my burritos."
We say burrito in the Axford Murphy household.
Okay, we're burrito folks.
Whoa.
We're burrito sweeties.
Yeah, what happened this episode? We got the Bazinga Bees.
Bazinga Bees, we're here. I feel bad because I know that last episode, Hardwin was about to like say something cool and epic, and then I just shouted over him to be like, do these bees have Jerry Seinfeld's voice?
What? What did I say?
But I'm glad we settled.
I don't know. I don't remember that.
I saw someone post
don't
about it.
Don't be so hard like, on yourself. No one else remembers it.
Yeah. Oh wait. You know what? Actually, now I remember it, and I'm pissed.
Oh no.
Yeah, Hardwin was about to say that fucking super hilarious but also badass line we can't remember now.
I don't remember it because I'm sure I just edited it and was mad that people were talking over each other and so just didn't take in any information.
Yeah, that's we usually are joking for like 5 minutes and then you describe a scene and we're like, can you describe that again, please?
Yeah, we do have to edit that out a bit of just like people laughing in the background while I'm like, you enter the church where your mother was killed and the vampire sits atop the throne holding your mother's skull.
Does he look like Count Chocula?
Jerry Seinfeld. What?
Is there Tim Hortons?
Does she look like the colonel from KFC?
In our defense, though, wouldn't you be sad if we were quieter?
Selectively, no.
Oh, okay.
No, I
clearly
mean,
noted. I'll shut the fuck up. Yeah.
I don't want you.
I'm gonna be completely.
I don't actually.
I'll be completely
quiet,
silent but. Next episode. How's that, Maria?
Yeah, I don't want you. I certainly don't want you to be silent.
Yeah. What if we approach these bees and you were like, you approach a bunch of giant bees and we just all were like, wonderful. They are a scourge. We shall take them down.
Actually, that'd be dope.
Just beads of sweat pouring down my forehead. Okay, just shuffling through some papers.
Speaking of scourges, I'm really sorry. I already told Jake this because he stayed at our house and he walked into the kitchen right as I had just heard it. But I'm listening to a book about the yellow fever. And in Memphis, they used to call it the saffron scourge.
Whoa. Wait.
Isn't that the most moonshine saying?
Yeah.
That really is.
Yeah.
Wait, where did they call it that?
At least in Memphis, Tennessee, they called it the saffron scourge.
That could be moonshine's
right.
Nickname.
That's crick rot.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking of.
That's crick rot.
So were they like
does relate to D&D.
Were there like regional names for it everywhere? Was it like the mustard misery?
It's
in
only
Alabama?
Been talking about Memphis right now, so I don't know. Yes, I agree. I would love to hear more of them.
Well, speaking
the lemon
of the
lime
yellow scourge.
Leprosy.
Hard pivot back to D&D.
Oh,
no, no,
please.
But that was D&D related because I was talking about how it was
true.
Moonshine.
Well,
but I'll bring up something that I thought was pretty funny from this episode was that usually it's Bev that gets like fucked by getting paralyzed, but Hardwon got honeyed.
Yeah,
this was Hardwon's bad day.
Hardwon's honey day. I really think like I'm trying to remember like. I'm trying desperately to remember like a positive part of this episode, and I feel like the entire thing's a thorn because I was stuck in honey and I embarrassed myself in front of all the Trisses. Like,
yeah, you also spent like a round fighting bees by yourself in the woods while everyone else was fighting the main boss.
Oh, but I cast confusion on those bees, right?
Yeah,
yes,
you say.
Oh, yeah,
you cast confusion on some bees. He got so this dude, which was a reskinned version of the Bear King from Cobalt Press's, I think it's Tome of Foes. But like, yeah, he gets like bees that he can release on his lair action. In addition to doing, I think the honey is one of them. And the other one is to like point at somebody and make them a minion. Obviously it's not a honey goblin in their book. I think you get turned into like a bear, which is cooler.
Yeah.
But a
honey goblin
is
way more humiliating
and more of a punishment.
I like honey goblin because it was like if I got turned into a bear. Well, first off, I can turn into a bear. Yeah. I could wild shape into a bear if I wanted.
Oh, that would have been cool for a bear to fight bear. Well, he wasn't. Oh,
yeah.
He wasn't a bear.
Well, that's
no,
the problem.
He you would have been his minion,
right? Oh, I just mean like right. Moonshine used
but
to wild
we're talking
shape
about if I wild shape.
Oh, okay.
That's the problem is I've had a really hard time figuring out times to wild shape because I mostly want to save it for fungal form because I do more damage that way. I don't know. I have to talk to other people who play druids because I want to know if there's like ever a world. I did just get new sizes, so maybe I'll actually have some animals that can do some stuff because the idea of going into a rage and becoming an animal sounds really fun.
Yeah, like what if,
but animal stats aren't great.
They're not as good as fungal form. The reason to do wild shape as a druid is to like get over something if you need to like fly or be super fast or swim or whatever. Or a lot of druid spells are concentration, so you throw up a concentration spell, and then you get up in the mix melee-wise. But with fungal form, you do more damage as a fungal entity.
Yeah.
So there's really no reason for you to, in combat, turn into anything other than fungal form.
Although
unless
one
you
of
need
these,
to like fly at somebody.
One of these days, I'm gonna like turn into... Because I think I finally have giant level now, so I'll have to see some giant stats and see if I can turn into like a giant squid in rage or something.
Oh, dope,
that'd be
dude.
Dope.
If you were a Kraken...
Yeah, I think... Just as like an element of surprise thing that would be so good if like all of a sudden there was just a giant squid in the middle of a room.
I would also I want you to turn into a woolly mammoth. Like if you turned into a woolly mammoth and I could ride you, I would be really, really grateful.
Yeah.
I feel like we could just
I'll have to look at the new animals.
I don't
know
if you can ever turn into anything as badass as a mammoth. The mammoths are really good. When they crush somebody, they do like insane D6s of damage.
Okay, but Daddy Murphy, maybe sometime we can just do it for transport, like for fun.
Yes.
Sweet.
Yeah.
You could turn into a non-charging elephant. Non-combat elephant.
When I'm a pregnant elk, that there's no card for that. I don't have stats for that.
Right.
You could turn into a...
I don't have, milk squirt for two.
Oh, no. I thought everything we did in the show was straight out of the DM's guide. But yes, Hardwon got super screwed by saving throws this one, which he usually doesn't, and he also got into the mix super late because you were out there swinging at them bazinga bees.
Yeah, it was what a disaster for me.
I think that's also my thorn this episode is I like realized way too late that I should have stocked this new spell I have, which gives everyone advantage on wisdom saving throws.
Whoa.
And it would have really helped in this fight, but I think
that's such a that's perfect for fey stuff.
Yeah, boss fights are usually like a lot of saving throws.
Yeah, I guess I don't know, I should have stocked that. I don't know why I didn't. I think it's like sometimes We try to be like really honest when we play, and like if the cards we have stocked from like earlier in that day are the ones that like we're going to be using for that day, like we won't change them out. And I feel like
I know.
I felt tempted to like switch it out, but I was like, nope, these are what I picked. But like if we encounter any more Fae bullshit in the future, I'll probably whip that card out. I'm trying to remember what it's called. It's like Beacon of Hope, I think, maybe, or
something
cool.
Since we've been in the Fae, I've been stocking like nonstop like trap stuff and like sneaking stuff, just because I feel like the Fae is like so tricky and everyone's trying to pull one over on us and nothing is as it seems. So that's what I've been stocking, which is not always good for battle, but...
Yeah, it's. I mean, I guess that's the balance in the pick and choose.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like when we go into record, we're always just like rushing to like get into it.
Yeah.
We should really try and do more like. We should really try and plan. In any way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an idea, but I don't know. I think it's working.
Let's just wing it. Yeah, let's all just turn into pregnant moose.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't plan for that.
I do, yeah. I got turned into a honey goblin this episode.
Yeah.
Was that scary? Did you think maybe you were a honey goblin forever?
I thought maybe. And then it would have been weird because, like, you know, Crayon is 40 and I'm a honey goblin and that's just the new normal.
Of all of the people to turn into a honey goblin, though, I feel like Beverly would make it work.
That's what I was going to say. Like, I feel like if you stayed a honey goblin, you could... continue along with us, right? Like,
yeah,
how
yeah.
would a goblin's if you, how would a honey goblin's stats compare to a halfling stats?
I think they would be pretty similar, because I even remember before like official goblin stats came out, they would suggest that if you wanted to make a goblin PC to just swap in halfling stats and give them something different instead of lucky.
Yeah,
goblins
that's what,
definitely aren't lucky.
What did you do with me when I played a snow goblin?
I think I did exactly that.
What did we swap in instead of
lucky? I think
maybe
we just gave you like dark vision, and I think maybe I think we gave you like two like pretty good things that weren't as good as lucky,
yeah,
but
yeah.
together were pretty good.
Cool,
I guess
cool.
instead of lucky, I just have sticky. Would be my feat, my skill.
Like, oh, like it's
that
hard.
Would mean that you get like advantage on grapple or something like that.
Advantage on dex checks that would knock you prone. Advantage against being knocked prone.
Yeah.
All right, Murph, sticky. I need you to. I know that we've recorded ahead, but I need you to cancel those episodes.
And advantage on grapple checks and advantage on being prone.
Should we monster of the month
a honey goblin?
And give him sticky and stuff like that?
There was someone on the Patreon was suggesting we do more monsters and weapons and items because those are easier to actually insert into the
campaign.
Yeah,
that's totally true. Because like, you know, how's anybody really gonna use like Mishka or something in their campaign? It's a little bit tougher.
Would like to believe someone has given that magnificent creature space in their campaign.
True. I guess what I'm saying is it would be nice to put out more things that people can easily integrate into their campaign. Because some of the... Because, you know, like Professor Duddle and all those guys, like the big bosses have very personality-based stats and everything. But if we made something like a honey goblin and we gave them like kind of, you know, more realistic stats and gave them little abilities, that'd be fun for
like
people to be able to use them. Sticky.
They can climb really well too.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I love this. Yeah. I'm a honey goblin now.
Yeah, they're also
everything
easy to
else was a dream.
You just said you only have one line ever, you know? Get the honey.
Yeah. I would be
honey.
That's fun. I'm just like your Groot now. I'm just gonna pull a full Groot. And I only say get the honey now, but like everyone loves it and it's funnier every time.
Ew, talking about Groot reminds me of that last shot in the Warcraft movie of that nasty little bat boy face.
Thrall.
Baby Thrall.
I'll tell you what, I was not enthralled to see that baby.
I was unthralled.
All I remember about this episode was I spent most of it trying to figure out what the opposite of honey was.
And you landed on
like
it.
You
nailed it.
I finally got it.
You did. Milk and honey.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had suggested salsa.
I think salsa actually might be closer.
I think salsa is too, because isn't the land of milk and honey a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a biblical thing, milk and honey.
Like
they're not exactly opposites. They're like counterparts,
I guess.
That's
so funny. I thought it was from Winnie the Pooh. I was like, oh, there's like.
Did you also think that Job killing his son was from Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah,
the hundred acre wood and Christopher Robin. That's from from Genesis.
Well, I know it's Heffalumps and Woozles. They live in the land of milk and honey.
They live
in the Canaanites and the Israelites
and the Heffalumps and the Woozles.
And the 100 acre woods is. Yeah. The 100 Acre Woods is obviously the promised land where the 12 tribes live.
And Eeyore is, of course, Judas. Yeah, let's think of
Christopher
critters
Robin.
Of the 100 Acre Woods as their biblical equivalents.
I was not raised with a religion, so I didn't go to church, but I know the Bible better than I know Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, because you actually studied
religion undergrad.
I would say I know both really well, but you know, sometimes you get your wires crossed, I guess.
I literally don't know anything about Winnie the Pooh. See, like when we're on the ride at Disney, I'm confused.
They live in the forest and he likes honey.
Yeah, but who's what? Like, one of them is real cranky, right? And I don't know which one is. Is Piglet the sad one?
Piglet has, like, anxiety. He's, like, nervous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rabbit has OCD. Tigger has ADD. Eeyore's depressed.
I thought you say...
Yeah, Owl is perfect. Owl is flawless and watches over them all.
He's a dang narcissist. Well,
I didn't even know how many animals were involved in this operation.
Kenga and Roo are pretty
Kenga's solid.
Yeah.
Kenga and Roo, yeah. Codependent, you
Wait,
know.
Kenga and Roo are two different...
Yeah.
Kenga and Roo are the kangaroos, yeah.
This is a lot.
Is Winnie the Pooh going to be your new Charlie Brown?
Oh, Murf, I almost got the stupidest thing on eBay, but I was getting it as a joke on myself almost, and then I had to stop myself. But I was looking up gravel art. Have you guys ever seen gravel art? It's where people make like paintings with like little stones. It was like a 70s thing. Okay. Anyways, I was looking up gravel art, and I saw the most hideous rendition of Charlie Brown and Snoopy as gravel art. It was so hideous. Oh, anyways, back to the episode.
Gravel? It's uneven. It's going to be hard to make it look like anything.
It looks scary. Like if you were, it's like a bad rendition. So if you were a child, you would feel like someone hurt your favorite characters.
I don't know what was wrong with people in the 70s. They kept making things out of rocks that weren't supposed to be made out of rocks. Pets, art. I don't know what they were doing.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
It was a rocky time.
Very nice.
In our nation.
Jake, does getting owned in battle make you like playing less? Like, did you have less fun this episode because you were covered in honey?
Yeah, I think I did. I mean, but it's like so fun to play. I think it's just like, it's just frustrating, you know? Like, and it's weird too.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing I can do. It's complete chance. It's dice. But I'm like disappointed in myself. Which is really weird.
Yeah. My feeling is that like getting frustrated in D&D is just, it's always going to happen, but it makes the highs higher.
Yeah.
That's very
so,
true.
So like I kind of don't mind, I kind of like getting frustrated in D&D just because like, I don't know.
Yeah.
This is all part of the process.
Right.
Yeah.
And the thing to remember too is like, it's still like narratively, it's interesting that like I was stuck in honey and you guys were fighting well. And like, it's also kind
of
funny.
You just got to treat it like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although getting paralyzed or stunned or stuff like that, that stuff can make it less fun. Getting like paralyzed is just like, oh, well, now there's nothing I can do. Getting frustrated because, like, there's more and more enemies coming and you aren't fucking winning and you're annoyed, that feels like, oh, I gotta get this. It feels like productive frustration, but just feeling like I can't do anything is maybe not
stuck.
As fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I guess like, you just treat it like you do in real life, where when you fail or, like, are stuck, it just helps you develop your character a little more and like think about your own failings.
Yeah.
So hopefully like you got to use it as a moment to like just reflect on yourself and who you are.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. a teaching moment.
But then also you kind of make a lot of like noises where you go like, I'm stuck. And like that's part of the fun of audio.
That's like whenever you're down, you're like, and it's your turn and they're like, just make a death saving throw. And you're like, cool. But what is my character seeing right now as I as I live between life and death?
And you know what else I think was extra frustrating too? Because like the Bear Prince was like such a great foil for Hard One, like another like kind of hot ladies man. Somebody on Patreon or Reddit or something called him Barrett, or maybe Twitter, Barrett Leto.
Oh, Barrett Leto. Yeah. Someone on Patreon said Barrett Leto, and I was like, oh my god, I'm so mad that we recorded this before we saw that.
That was so good.
I would have loved saying that over and over again.
And it really defines his characters really well too.
Yeah,
he would be in 30 Seconds to Mars.
There were, yeah, as I was like re-skinning this Bear King to be Barrett Leto, I was going through the lair actions and trying to figure out how to redo them, because the Bear King is so badass. It's like he summons these like giant wasps, which then turned into the Bazinga Bees. I think one of them is a honey thing. And then the other one, no. One of them is a, turns you into a bear that fights for him. So that changed to Honey Goblin. And then one of them was that he lets out like a frightening roar that scares people, which I just changed to like a fuckboy temper tantrum.
That's
what you're making me mad. And like punching the wall.
His like public meltdowns.
Yeah, just like a stupid dude meltdown.
Yeah.
A Twitter rant.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
Do you think like that we should do the Honey Goblin, but then also a Bazinga Bee for the Monster of the Month, and the Bazinga Bee does just have Jim Parsons' face?
I think a lot of people are going to be eager to incorporate that into their campaigns.
Like fucking Sheldon?
Into their, like, epic, amazing campaigns. Think of all like the beautiful campaigns that people are not recording, that are just like these epic tales of people like defending honor and just being like, well, I don't know if Bazinga Bees fit into this.
But the stats are just so good. They're such a fun little character to throw in there. And then like we do have the printout, you know, it's a PNG, it's transparent. You can cut that out and make a little a figure on a stand, put that right on your table for your players to encounter. It's Jim Parsons and his face is bright yellow because he does have a big bee body now.
Wow. That is beautiful. That is stunning.
Truly.
Did the bees, what were the, because we didn't really get to see the bees in action too much. Like, what were their abilities and strengths?
They're just monsters. They just sting you.
They just sting you? They didn't do anything?
Just give you a sting.
They were only sentient enough to watch Big Bang Theory and remember Bazinga, but they were not cursed like the Honey Goblins.
They couldn't do like a wing slap or anything like that, or a bite?
I think they bit maybe,
or like shed, you know what they should also be able to do is like shed some pollen.
Ooh.
And like give everyone allergies.
True. Okay, we'll redo the episode and make the bees a lot
Tasha's
harder.
Tasha's hideous allergies.
Hard One has no allergies.
Hard One having Hard One. A bee allergy would be so funny.
Hard One takes an EpiPen every morning.
It'd be
much funnier if Hard One got addicted to Zicam instead of Arcane.
Is that the EpiPen?
No, that's just like a nasal spray.
That should have like erode your passages, right?
Yeah, if you use it enough. You got to be careful with that stuff.
Whoa.
Shit. I could have
you be careful. You heard it here first.
Be careful.
And
Murph, I always ask you this, but I think I'm racking my brain to this episode, and I don't think that there's any chance where we would have surprised you. But I was like, did we do anything that surprised you? But I don't feel like we didn't necessarily like flaunt it in this fight. We kind of
I was a bit
here and there
concerned that you guys might attack the gnomes outright. When you found out that you saved a bunch of gnomes at the end, and I thought that it could cause some beef with Durlin and Cran, because Durlin and Cran don't have problems with gnomes.
Yeah,
it was good. It was like a fun moment. I remember we had that trust fall moment.
Oh, that's right.
Where I think Hardwon just crushed a bunch of gnomes under his weight.
Killed a bunch of gnomes by falling on them.
I love that moment of that reveal of like Durlan comes out. You guys are super pumped to meet Durlan. Durlan's cool and hot now. And then all of a sudden, all these gnomes around the corner, and they're super excited because they're not honey goblins anymore. And you guys are just like, circle up, circle up.
Around the wagons. The one thing that you mentioned in this episode that I thought was going to be a factor was the hot tub. Because like most of the battle took place in the hot tub, I think. And I thought that that was going to be like the source of the Grizzly Prince's power somehow. Like that was giving him a stat buff or something.
I remember I had been like, oh, I had like stocked control water because I knew we were going to fight in the hot tub. And I was like, maybe like because control water is like a fourth level spell. It's like nothing to fucking waste on just making a whirlpool for no reason. But yeah. I was like, we're going to fight. Like, what if this hot tub is like some sort of like portal or it can suck us in or anything like that. But
it was just a hot tub.
It was just a hot tub. It was just sometimes cool. A hot tub is just a hot tub.
Damn, that's you got to learn that lesson in life one way or the other.
But we did set Durlan and Cran up with that sweet new house.
Yeah. We flipped that for them.
That felt good. You know, we did some stuff that we weren't proud of last session. What with unleashing all those, what was it, giants?
Trolls
yeah. All those trolls on those pixies. However, I think we made up for it by playing House Hunters for a nice young couple.
Totally.
Yeah, House Hunters Feywild Edition.
Durlan this and couple. Grant were little kids who were put in the bags. 25 years later in an alternate dimension, they have two frozen children.
Cran's like... For the past year, I've been a rogue who's been booby trapping my house, and my husband has been a honey goblin.
It cuts to a honey goblin picture of Durlan, and he's like, "Get the honey,"
and he's like, "I'm just looking for a place where I can move on from being a honey goblin."
Yeah, he's like a very busy husband just because he's always going out and getting the honey.
You know, it has to have a hot tub, and we have to be able to fuck in every room, and we want we're not opposed to 400 gnomish roommates.
I'd like an open floor plan, and I need somewhere I can put all my honey.
Must have honey closet.
Must have ideally honey cellar, but we'll settle for honey closet.
We have $10,000.
You guys want to talk roses and thorns?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think my rose is really encouraging some lovemaking between Cran and Durlan.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Or, absolutely. You know what? I think I like that twist that we saved a bunch of gnomes and now we have to confront all our preconceived gnome-tions.
Well done.
Wonderful.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I think just like, yeah, fighting Baird Leto in a hot tub was so good. I feel like it's I want to give that rose to you, Murph. That was a very good encounter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, maybe my thorn is that we didn't see the comment on Patreon about Baird Leto until after we recorded.
That's a good thorn.
That's a huge thorn.
Yeah.
That's a good thorn.
Yeah.
That's a big loss.
I would have loved
honestly.
To talk about Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad tub.
Suicide Squad tub.
What could have been? That's why we do the short rest,
squad
y'all.
Squad tub time machine.
That's maybe one too many, but I like it. I'll support it.
No, you're right.
Call those out.
If you know, you believe in it.
Give me a hemp.
Hemp.
No.
No, you did it wrong. If she asks for a hemp, you have to give her milk.
Right, yeah, that makes a ton of sense.
Honestly, everyone should get a nut bag. It's a great thing to have in your kitchen.
We did pass over the nut bag. We just glazed over the nut bag. Tell me, I need to know a little more about the nut bag, just real quick, please.
Real quick, it's pretty fun. You basically like take all the hemp seeds and then you put them in a blender and then you put it through the nut bag. The nut bag is almost like, it's like a very sheer fabric. And so then you have all these like hemp silt.
Oh, I love a it's silty
fun.
Drink.
It's fun to just squeeze it and watch the milk come out. Anyways, other people's roses and thorns.
That was my rose.
My rose of all of the short rests is Emily insisting that her song should be wrong.
I was wrong. I couldn't defend myself because I was crying laughing. I couldn't even do a good rendition of the song.
I was attacking you, but frequently had to take breaks to cry.
I think my rose was overcoming my honey goblin status and emerging as the milk boy.
Yeah.
That's true, because you got turned into a honey goblin, but then you resisted. I think you got turned into a honey goblin once, but you also resisted, I think, at least once or twice, which is good.
Yeah. It's always fun when that happens in a campaign where, like, something bad happens to you, but you're like, no, I reject. And then the roles, like, help you live this destiny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that too. I think my thorn was being stuck in honey and embarrassing myself in front of the Trisses and Barrett. I think my rose maybe was like getting a tour, like, after the Bear Prince was dead, like going through his house and like seeing all the douchey stuff he had like in his bedroom. I thought that was really funny.
That's
fun. Yeah, that was awesome.
Oh,
you guys also
met all the super depressed Winter Eladrin.
Oh, yes.
They were traveling to spring, hoping that they could turn into Spring Eladrin, but the curse is too powerful.
It was really fun because like the way you described them visually, I was like, wow, so cool. I want to play one. And then you made them so lame.
Really buzzkill.
Like aggressively, like I really tried to work with them and there was nothing there.
I don't want to go out tonight.
Got a lot on my plate. Gonna need to take
a rain check.
I
have to be up by 10 tomorrow. So, if you don't mind.
I
sound
hiking.
Like ever so slightly Beatles.
I was doing David Bowie a little bit.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm doing a hiking trail tomorrow. I don't think I can go out. Just need to recharge.
I think my rose might have been discovering bazinga bees. Mm. That's always fun.
Yeah.
Goofing with your pals and finding good bazinga puns.
Freaking love goofing with
my
pals.
Wait, have any of us actually seen what Bazinga's from a sitcom?
Big Bang
I can't
Theory.
Remember. Okay, Big Bang Theory. Mm-hmm. Have any of us actually seen an episode?
I stopped watching in season 6, but I saw up till then.
Okay, so maybe you could tell me, what does Bazinga mean? Is it like
it's
a
just
soft
a catchphrase.
Drink?
I think it's like,
but, okay,
no,
but
think
like
it's like Eureka.
Catchphrase, but is it like,
I think Sheldon's like, Bazinga, like when...
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense.
Although from what I have seen, it doesn't make sense that Sheldon would say Bazinga.
Yeah, it's just kind of like a weird vestige of like a previous era of sitcoms. Where
the show has been on for like 10 years.
I don't hate the idea of a catchphrase. I just was trying to understand what kind of catchphrase
Guys,
it was.
Guys, shout out in the comments why Sheldon says Bazinga.
Because Joey's sometimes catchphrase.
Remember Joey's catchphrase? Just how you doing.
How you doing, yeah.
Joey from Friends?
Yeah.
I've been watching so much Friends, I haven't seen him say, you doing?
You're only on like season 2.
Yeah,
he
that's
says
a
it
lot
a lot.
Of Friends, though.
It's not there's not
like
enough Niles.
9 more seasons.
So far, Joey's catchphrase is his eyebrows.
Yeah, that's pretty much a catchphrase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What should Bev's catchphrase be? Because I think Harwin's got
his
watch
would be
this.
Like, did I do that? He is very much a Steve Urkel.
Speaking of, oh my god, I went to Chicago and I was hanging out with one of my friends, and we'd had quite a few drinks, and he mentioned Family Matters for some reason, and I'm very much of the opinion where I like a lot of things that aren't very good, but I will admit that the thing isn't good. So it was like one of those things where it was like, I said, I know Family Matters is bad, but I still think it's so funny. And he got super offended. He's like, Family Matters is not bad. And we got into this intense discussion. And at one point he yelled, he was like, when Steve Urkel is on screen, you laugh. That is what being funny is.
It's so funny because you both like it. You're not saying that.
Yes, we both like it, but it was...
it's so funny to be offended.
I had the same... conversation with a friend who was like, who said that August and Everything After by The Counting Crows was one of the greatest albums of all time. And I was like, that is also one of my favorite albums, but I don't think that's correct.
No, this was when we had the running thing of we were trying to figure out who was more successful or something. We were doing Matchbox 20 versus The Counting Crows. Oh. And like, I was talking who had about hotter hits.
All the Matchbox 20's hot hits.
Yeah.
I get into so many
Matchbox 20 definitely
arguments.
Had the hotter hits. But I think...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would I feel like Rob Thomas made more money than The Counting Crows.
I don't,
because he had a solo career.
Adam Duritz never had a solo career. I guess I just want to play devil's advocate because now I want to defend Counting Crows. I think I'm just an asshole.
No, I like the Counting Crows more. Don't get me wrong.
I think Counting Crows had the white hot hits, like Mr. Jones. No Matchbox 20 song can touch the white hot hit.
Oh yeah, right. Though, what about the one he did with Santana? I guess that's not
Smooth. Rob Thomas. That's not the Matchbox 20.
Smooth was like the most popular song of like all time.
Can we say now me and Murph had a running joke in an episode about Smooth, and the network was like, please stop having so many jokes about Smooth.
It's so funny.
We cut it down.
We cut it down from like mentioning Smooth 10 times to mentioning it twice.
That's not enough.
Not even 3 times? Come on. Well, I mean, Rob Thomas is in that episode, right?
Yeah.
We should get him.
You totally
could.
We have
a threesome with Rob Thomas.
And Emily likes him better.
Yeah.
Anybody else have roses or thorns now that we're talking about The Counting Crows' white hot hits?
Okay, so my rose is...
But Matchbox 20's more consistent red hot hits.
My rose is Anna Begins from August and Everything. Yeah.
And Anna Begins.
Yeah.
My rose is that sexy song they put in Cruel Intentions. Mm. I am color.
Oh yeah.
Blind.
You sang it super sexy.
It was sexy because Cruel Intentions was sexy.
True.
Because I watched it when my sexuality was budding.
Oh dude, sexual awakenings. This is our show.
Yeah. That was definitely another huge sexual, that entire movie, the whole time you're like, I'm horny in every direction.
You had so many.
You are so horny.
It's funny that they had the love
song.
Well,
you know what? When you're a little girl, you like people don't feed sex to you the same way. They don't like so it really is something that you're privately discovering by yourself.
You have to find your own horny.
Right,
yeah, like no one's like the idea of like me watching porn was not like mainstream at the time. So you know, I had to watch Aladdin and just. Go there.
Let's think about what could be.
Me and my friends all discovered it together. Like, we're all watching Scramble Vision in the basement.
Yeah.
And Emily's over there like, just a little snack time.
Thinking there's something wrong with me for feeling those feelings.
poor horny Emily.
Aw. My thorn is that we never got Kaka back because we could have named him Counting Crows, and I think that would have been really fun.
We can still get him. Once we leave the Feywild, I'm going to find my bird.
Murph, is Kaka dead?
Roll in front of the screen.
I don't want to roll for that. We'll do it on an actual episode. Okay. And find out about Kaka. Kaka did. I think you're lucky that you sent Kaka to Meemaw. Because Meemaw will realize what a bad idea it was to like send a bird on a 5-day trip to ask how their progress was going, to send him back on another 5-day trip to catch up with you guys. Like that amount of time hasn't even passed.
I was just testing Kaka's loyalty. That was all I was doing.
My favorite thing when writing Council of Elders is to reference Jake's neglect of Kaka and the fact that Ryan is dead.
I think it's
and
funniest.
And of course, coming up with weird Austrian words.
I think
it's doing weird Austrian words.
It's funniest and most realistic to just have Kaka be gone and you never know what happened to him.
Oh.
Yeah. Kaka is like the bird with a message in a movie that like gets shot with an arrow and then you see like the bad guy looking at the bird's leg.
Yeah.
That's Kaka.
If we found Kaka's carcass, could we bring it to Meemaw and hypothetically have her cast use a resurrection spell?
Oh.
And in which case there would be a chance that he could be reborn into a better body.
No.
Please.
It could be a bird man.
I'll do that instead of saving my mother.
Something as simple as resurrecting a bird, you could just try.
Like, he couldn't be resurrected Moonshine, as an elf?
Moonshine, you can roll to resurrect a bird. If you run into a dead bird, you can roll to resurrect it.
Oh, shit, you just opened a fucking can of worms.
No, we don't want to resurrect him. We want to reincarnate him into the body of, like, an orc or an elf or something.
Or a ram.
I want to resurrect.
Never. You could use a wish spell.
That's our new quest.
Okay, guys, this was a very fun episode, a very insane episode. We got to hear about Emily's nut milk song.
Let's go out with a nut milk song.
Let's go out with a nut milk song. Yeah. Instead of rolling with the hit dice, let's. Would you prefer the your version or the new remix version?
I think everyone should do the version they like the most. Okay.
Okay, I'll start it. Emily will start it and we'll do whatever we want.
All right, you can stop listening now.
Okay, Em, go ahead.
Give me a hemp.
Milk.
Hemp. Milk. Roll them hit dice.
Rolling with the hit dice.